This is Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic and the new Outside the Magic, and you are listening to Creepy Kingdom because it's awesome.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I'm your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Can I say that any slower? Carter II. Coming up in this episode, I have Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic. He has come on the show to tell you all about his new website, Outside the Magic. And boy, oh boy, get ready for this one. Put the kids to bed because it gets a little scary outside the magic. It's nice and safe inside the magic. A little scary outside the magic. A little bit. All right, let's get into it. Here we go. Alrighty, I am joined by Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic. Hello. Welcome to the show, Ricky.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem at all. And you are on here to talk about a new project of yours, but before we dive into that, I want to talk to you a little bit about Inside the Magic.
Yeah. That little thing.
That little thing. How long have you been doing Inside the Magic?
Longer than I can remember. No, it's been a while. What year are we in? 2014.
Yeah.
I guess I'm coming up on 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, because I think it was 2004 that I started, I believe.
So you started...
I've actually lost track. It's been long enough to where I've lost track.
Wow. So you started it as a blog... And
it was actually a podcast first.
Really?
Very early on in the world of podcasting when it was kind of a new thing. Yeah, I guess podcasting came out in 2004, the end of 2004, and then I started in early 2005. So we're pushing into the 10th year coming up soon.
Right, so. Right. Wow. So what made you want to start a podcast so early on in the podcasting game?
I liked the concept. I had a microphone and a computer and, a passion for things that I felt should be shared online. And from there, it was just kind of like, well, you know, what am I going to talk about? I'm in Orlando. There's only one other, at the time, Disney podcast out there. And so I figured, hey, I'll give that a shot and see what happens. And here we are.
Wow. And you've kept with it the whole time. That's
probably the most surprising part of it all. I never ever intended to have it go this far or go where it did. It was kind of just going to be a little side hobby, and I can share a few Disney tidbits here and there with people. And then people seem to really enjoy it, so it just kind of kept on going.
Oh wow. So let's take a step back from there even more and say, how did you get into the Disney thing?
It's been my whole life, really. I mean, I grew up in South Florida. My parents used to take me up here for vacation, and it just kept going from there. I went to college up in Atlanta, and while I was there, I made many trips down here to Central Florida as well. Ended up meeting my wife online, and she also lived here in Central Florida, so that worked out very well.
Yeah.
And so everything just kind of came together. it was meant to be that I was going to live, you know, down the street from Walt Disney World.
Wow, the stars aligned.
Exactly. When you wish upon a star.
Exactly.
And all that.
So you've got to do a lot of things over the past 9.5 years inside the Magic. What would you say it was your most surreal moment doing the show?
Oh boy. It's talking to definitely talking to any of the people who are like from my past or my childhood or you know, people who I've heard their voices or seen them or know of them, and I've literally, you know, they've been part of my existence in some way for years and years and years, but it's sort of this lofty, you know the voice, you know the face, you know the whatever, but then to actually have a conversation with that person or that character, it's really bizarre.
I can't imagine. I don't want to say starstruck, but do you get taken out of it when you have those moments?
Not really. I mean, it's cool. I really enjoy it. It fuels me a little bit because it gets me excited. You know, it's not like, I'm shy about it. It makes me want to really dive in even more and have more of those cool moments because, they're awesome for me. Just for example, fairly recently within the last few months, I had a chance to talk to a voice actor, Jim Cummings, for the very first time. And, you know, he has voiced some of my favorite characters over the years. And since then I've met him a couple more times. So, you know, things like that, where it's like years ago, I never would have imagined, that being sort of a part of anything. Like it would have been, you know, it just never would have hit me that, like, oh, this is a person that I could talk to, but right. There it is.
Right, someone that you could run into and have a casual conversation about whatever, and they look at you as an acquaintance or something.
it's neat. You know, it's gotten to the point where I've gotten to a lot of these things, the red carpets and the grand openings and those sort of things, and I don't want to say I'm jaded about it, but they're not quite as they're called special events, but maybe they're not so much special, they're just events now.
Right.
But they're still, I mean, they're always awesome, and I love going to all of them, and that's why I do it. That sort of like magical Hollywood mystical celebrity quality thing, after the while that just kind of blends into the background. It's just like, oh yeah, this is just neat, and you can feel like you're just a part of it, as opposed to, you know, cowering in a corner and being like, oh my god, there's so and so.
Right. I can imagine. Just like anything, I guess the more you do it, the more normal, quote unquote, it becomes.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. Actually, I look at look back occasionally, like, oh, you know, I've been so busy for months and months, and then all of a sudden I have a moment where I'm like, oh, you know what, I don't have anything to do, and I kind of think back, like, what did I do for the last 6 months? And I think, wow, that was a lot of really amazing things that I did. You know, there's probably people out there who spend most of the time just kind of like sitting around watching TV, and right. You know, I'm going out and doing all these amazing things, and at the time, I'm so immersed in it and really working hard on, whether I'm interviewing or taking pictures or video or, you know, et cetera, everything that I do for these things. And it gets caught up in the moment. And then afterwards, I look back and I'm like, wow, that really was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I guess that's how life is with everything, probably.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing these things, you're working. So you're
right.
You're not just hanging out. So you're probably thinking about a lot of different things, and especially interviews.
Constantly, it's a constant, you know, what am I doing next? What am I doing next? I've got to beat a schedule. I've got to do this, that, and the other. And by the time, you know, and then I get home and I got to work on all of it all for hours and hours. And then finally, when it's all done, I can look back and be like, oh, yeah, that was cool.
Right. Cool. So what other non-Disney things are you interested in or you know, interests of yours?
Yeah, that's sort of been I don't want to say it's the bad side, but the other half of doing what I've been doing for so long is that I've been so immersed in this world of Disney and theme parks for, you know, 9 whatever years now that it's easy to forget that I do actually like other things in the world besides Disney. I mean, it's nice that theme parks are such a broad topic that there really is a lot to them. You know, reaching out to Universal, for example, there's, of course, Halloween season every year. And that gives me a real good opportunity to immerse myself in everything that is just 100% absolutely not Disney.
Right. You
know, it's the other side of things. And I do, you know, I can take that even further to just sort of the general world. I mean, I like horror movies. I like movies in general, you know, just kind of sitting down and watching. And so I've had a few hobbies over the years that have just kind of been pushed to the side because I'm always so busy with all of these things. So, you know, at some point, maybe I'll get back to playing guitar, for example. I used to do that a lot, and
really
not so much anymore.
Were you in a band, or were you just jamming around?
Not officially. Back in high school, you know, I had some friends that I would jam with, you know, go over to their house, or they'd come over and we'd play, play our favorite, you know, songs from our favorite bands, and never really wrote any music, but it, just for fun. And then just as life takes a hold of you, things like that kind of fizzle away.
Right. Yes. I know that story.
Yeah. I don't play a lot of video games much anymore. I used to play a lot more than that. I love video games, but you know, they you could sit there and an entire week will disappear from your life.
Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest differences between right now in my life and 10, 15 years ago. The amount of hours sucked away from video games has decreased drastically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that you're like, oh, well, you know, I can get to that later, but right. Then that later never comes.
Right. So, yeah, it looks like we've been going down some similar paths with that type of thing, where there's all these little things, you get so, work just takes over, and especially
when
for
things,
you.
When things are relevant and they have deadlines, or, you
right.
know, it's coming off of, it's sort of the things that are now. Everything that doesn't have that specific, oh, you have to do it now, just kind of be like, yeah, you know, that comes later.
Yeah.
Whenever
which,
that is.
Which is usually never.
Right, exactly.
So, like, what bands were you into when you were in high school?
I was big into Nirvana. Was definitely one of my favorite bands, still is. Nine Inch Nails I really liked, and I've seen them more times in concert than anyone else. I just bought a ticket the other day for their upcoming tour with Soundgarden, which I'm excited about because I've never seen Soundgarden. They've been saying they're going to tour again for a couple of years now, and I was like, man, when's that going to happen? So that's, you know, that whole kind of scene, definitely sort of rock, alternative, grunge sort of thing, and some classic rock as well.
It's a little mid-90s
Yeah, I kind of hit that teenage age in the early mid 90s, and that's what, you know, stuck with me.
Right. Yeah, I'm about the same age as you, so yeah, I get that. It was the time when mainstream music had a little edge to it, for lack of a better term.
Well,
especially
and it had, you know, people playing instruments and really singing, and, you know, no auto tune and no boy bands and all that, and then of course the invasion of Britney Spears and all that came at the late 90s, and music was never the same.
No, you know, well, I guess the decline of the music industry is a whole different topic that we don't need to get into right now. But I just,
we're going
to
start a whole other podcast here.
Right. I just wanted to dig a little deeper, kind of see where you're coming from as the non-Disney side of Ricky, because I could see that. I get this way sometimes, and I'm not even as deep in the game as you are, where I just, it's just, you know, if I had a nickel for every time I read or heard the word Disney, it just, it gets too much for me, and I just, I need to, like, step out of it. And
yeah, I know there are, you know, some people who go to the parks way more often than I do, I was there for a while. You know, I was going at least once a week, mostly multiple times a week. And now I'm pretty much going when there's something really awesome happening, but I'm not really kind of going on just sort of your average everyday, you know, have fun in the parks kind of thing, because there is so much going on that I've got to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, when there's the must do, can't miss this sort of things, I'm going to go for that.
Right.
And the rest of the time I need to spend doing something else, because otherwise it's just overload.
Right. Well, at least you saw that, or, you know, knew that you needed to take a step back, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I've definitely had people ask, and the same thing, you know, this question gets asked to cast members or Imagineers or whatever, you know, does being part of it, does being there all the time sort of take away some of the magic? And it just depends on your sort of tolerance level of that sort of thing. You know, if you, I mean, I could live inside Walt Disney World, if I had a house at Golden Oak or whatever, you know, someone wants to give me $8 million, that would be awesome. I'd be all for that. But even if I lived there, I still wouldn't go to the park every single day.
Yeah, it's a little intense. all right, well, let's move on from that, and let's talk about your new project, Outside the Magic. So what is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely related to what we've been talking about. Just the sort of the idea of there are so many cool things out there that are still under this umbrella of themed entertainment or, you know, live performances or special events, conventions, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But not all of them necessarily fit into what I have established over the last 9-ish years as the Inside the Magic audience, the primarily Disney focused, but also interested in a few other things, you know, other parks, etc. But still under that sort of family friendly, all ages, everybody can see everything sort of thing. And in recent years, I've tried to add more and more to that, and I've gotten a little bit of feedback, well, a lot at certain times of the year, particularly Halloween, from the Disney crowd or the more conservative crowd who are like, you know what, I don't necessarily want to see an axe buried in somebody's head. right next to a picture of Chip and Dale. You know, it's sort of this. I like them both, and I know a lot of people do, but there are a good amount of people who don't. They don't want to see that side of things. They simply want to come to Inside the Magic for the, you know, the Tinkerbell and the pixie dust and all of that. So after all this time and getting all this feedback, I think it was finally time to sort of separate the two, and the name came naturally. You know, it's been Inside the Magic for so many years, referring to the magic of Disney and the magic of, well, it's the magic of Harry Potter and whatever other magic you want to talk about. But there's a world outside of that as well. And that's really what I wanted to be able to share is more of these other cool events and things that are going on in the world that aren't necessarily in that family-friendly bubble. And then as a result of that, I wanted to even take it even further and then use that as an opportunity to then cover things that absolutely in no way would have been part of Inside the Magic by any means, things that are strictly aimed at adults.
Right.
So, you know, it really gives a sort of an avenue to do even more cool things that, are worth sharing.
So you said you were getting feedback from your audience. Did you feel that did you feel conflicted? Like kind of saying, well, this is my show and I want to cover these things, or maybe I should stop. Like what was that inner struggle, I guess?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, ultimately you're right. It's my site, it's my show, it's my whatever, and I make it what I want. And you know, you like it, you can listen, you can read. If you don't, you could go away. But at the same time, I didn't want to alienate, you know, I've got, just for example, over on Facebook, it's up to like 170,000 people paying attention to everything that I post there.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a big number.
Yeah.
and because of that, every little tiny thing that I put up is heavily scrutinized. And I didn't want to lose 170,000 people that are really excited about the Festival of Fantasy Parade, for instance, just because I also wanted to show them, Freddy Krueger. So it was just a matter of I want to do both these things. Let me cater a little bit to each audience. And if the other audience, the Outside the Magic side of things, is tremendously smaller, if it stays smaller, I'm fine with that. You know, I want to do it because I like these things. I want to be part of it. I want to share it. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not going to be as broad of a reach, and that's fine.
Let's dive a little deeper on what the things are that you plan on covering.
Yeah, well, I can give some recent examples. I actually, when I started it, and it's a separate section of the website, insidethemagic.net, of course, is the home for all things Inside the Magic, and I've just add a slash outside to that, and it takes you to this sort of darker other realm of the website. And on there, I sort of ported over some old posts that kind of give an example to kick things off of things from this past Halloween season, some events that I went to in California. You know, the one that stands out the most in my mind is called Blackout, which is, you know, one of the haunted, it's not even really haunted, but it's a Halloween time experience that's very intense, very adult in nature, and certainly intended, you know, I had to kind of dance around the topics when I was writing about it, and I hated that, you know, because it was something that I really wanted to talk about and share, but I couldn't on the website. I had to write very vaguely as to what went on there, and I ended up, you know, going on another podcast that wasn't even my own in order to be able to speak freely about that. So, you know, that felt a little bit weird.
Right, right. And it's funny that you brought that up because I definitely wanted to talk about that. that was on the WDW Kingdom Cast.
Exactly, yeah.
And which, if for listeners, if you haven't heard it, it's a, you know, uncensored show. So that was the forum where you could say whatever you wanted.
Right.
And this Blackout experience, why don't you... You could talk about it here. We're not, you know, we don't want profanity, but, you know, we sure. We touch some dark subjects on the show, as you can probably imagine. So why don't you tell listeners a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, and it's not even something that I would be able to spoil at this point, because every time they run this event, it's been going on for, I think, 5 years now, they completely reinvent it. So it's over and done with the version of it that I saw. So, you know, I could describe the entire thing and it wouldn't matter. But the short version of it is basically, it's called Blackout for a reason, because it's sort of immersing you into this indoor environment that's mostly just pitch black around you, and very specific things are lit up as you go through, or people for the most part, and it's just a lot of intense grabbing and pulling you around and making you, you know, lick a guy's nipple, and there's nudity and violence. You know, at one point I had a gun thrust in my hand while I had a bag over my head with a naked girl in front of me, and I was expected to shoot her. So. Yeah, there it is. So, obviously not your average everyday experience. At least I hope not.
Not my everyday.
No, I mean if it was, there'd be a problem.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine you. You couldn't even said what you just said on Inside the Magic. I don't even.
No, and I didn't. And I didn't even write that on the website either. That's what I'm talking. I didn't want to have to dance around subjects like that, because the experience as a whole, it is meant to be extreme. It's meant to be intense, and it's meant to sort of mess with your sort of normal notion of reality. And that's what I think is great about not only that, but just sort of the concept of these themed experiences. They can take you away from the everyday, in the same way that going to the Magic Kingdom does. You know, you're in a fantasy world, it's a safe, controlled environment,
right?
But like you go on Big Thunder Mountain and it's supposed to be a runaway mine train, right? Or a steam train or whatever.
Right.
in that sense, it's sort of the here's an experience and then something goes horribly wrong. I mean, that's the premise for so many attractions.
Right.
It's a premise for like haunted houses, and it can be the premise for so many other types of themed experiences like the one I just described. And it doesn't always have to be kid friendly to be worth doing, you know, take you and give you a life experience that, you know, that's why we're here, right? We only get to live once, I think.
We'll see.
Might as well make the best of it. People are really doing some inventive things. There's one thing I haven't written about yet. That I just did up in New York, that was actually kind of the inspiration for a few of the Halloween time experiences that I did the past year. Sleep No More is the name of the, it's a immersive theatrical experience, really loosely based on Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to get that. I didn't get that. It's just sort of a personal hours and hours of watching performers do things with no dialogue, and it was wild. You really had to put yourself forward and into it in order to get it. It's just sort of something that could never work in a theme park, but can exist in its own little bubble as its standalone, you know, off-Broadway type performance. And those types of things are absolutely worth talking about and worth sharing. They're, you know, they're really cool.
Who was it with that went through Blackout with you?
It's an individual experience, but we went sort of after
time,
each other.
Right?
It was Jeff from the mice chat, mice age world.
From Commute Core Weekly, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, I don't know what episode of Kingdom Cast that is, but that just painted this crazy. It had me on the edge of my seat. I could tell you one thing. I have no interest in doing anything like that. So experiencing it through you guys was more than enough.
You know what's crazy about all of that is as much as I had heard about how intense this whole blackout notion was, the version that we saw was, I guess, at least to me, not even one of the more extreme versions from based on what I've read about from past years. So,
oh wow,
it'll be interesting to see where they go from. I know there was a version of it in New York. Where it took place in a hotel, and so you were taken into your hotel room and completely alone and put there for a little while. You're instructed to climb into the bed, turn out the lights, and wait.
Oh my god.
And then things happened, and ultimately the result, after I don't know, half an hour of things going on in that hotel room, the result was you on the floor of your hotel room completely naked, wrapped up in like saran wrap. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of insane.
Well, to each his own. That's cool.
And then there's another one that I think is even pushing it a little bit further than I would want to experience. This thing that ended up not even happening. It was supposed to be right about now, actually, from there's a haunted attraction group, the Freakling Brothers in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were putting on what they were calling the victim experience, where it was going to be a very limited amount of tickets, and they would pick you up in a van and take you somewhere and come one step short of like torturing you for the night and then dumping you off and be, you know, and it's done. And they claimed they weren't out to harm you or anything, but people who had done something similar was like, I left all bruised and I got a black eye and I got this. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to get beat up, I don't want to do it.
Well, I mean, the blackout experience didn't seem as too many steps from behind that, though.
It was just short of that, which was good. I didn't leave in pain, so that's important.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, you know, as far as the thing types of things over on Outside the Magic and We Write About, it's that type of an experience, but it's also other things. It's, you know, just today I posted about a new experience that's coming to San Francisco from the Merlin Entertainment Group, who they have a lot of attractions there. They're associated with Legoland, which, of course, is the most family-friendly, kid-oriented thing in this entire universe, like sickeningly so. but the complete opposite of that, they're doing this thing that they have in Europe called the Dungeons, which I had never even heard of before today. But apparently, they're bringing it to the U.S. now in San Francisco, where it's like history-based, bringing in a little bit of education about the city, but also integrating sort of a little bit of scary, spooky feeling to it. There's like a underground boat ride. I'm not even sure what that means, but whatever that is, it's going to be part of it. And, you know, a little bit of humor as well. And it's this sort of attraction unto itself that's based on a city. And that's not something I really would have written about on Inside the Magic so much, because it's not really relevant to anything. But it works perfectly for talking about sort of this themed experience that's outside of the box.
All right. Yeah, that looks pretty cool. I saw your post today. And just the idea of kind of like going on a scary-ish boat ride in like a real place that has history in it, that was very intriguing to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's all kinds of things that are happening out there, whether it's experiences or even just something as simple as artwork, you know, taking Disney characters and doing funny things with them, you know, from very talented artists, or, you know, things that are just a little bit basically anything that would potentially offend somebody who's ultra conservative, it ends up over there instead.
I guess you have to make that call. Some things are really obvious, but some things might not be as obvious, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, there's like SeaWorld, for example, that seems to be offending people nowadays.
Yeah.
but I'm not going to move that over. It's still a theme park, and it's still meant to be family friendly, whether or not you believe blackfish or not. But yeah, so there is a fine line to be walked there. And even something as like the Halloween events, I'm still going to cover those for Inside the Magic. I'm not going to drop Halloween Horror Nights from it just because a few people don't like it. I just may not go quite as extreme with it. You know, every little tiny detail over there, I'll reserve that for the other side of things, for the outside of magic, outside the magic sides of things, so that those who want it can see it there.
Well, speaking of which, so your blog post for Outside the Magic, but will there be an Outside the Magic podcast?
I've been asked that many times already. and I think it's just going to kind of be a here and there sort of thing. I definitely in the past have shared, let's say, recordings from inside the haunted houses, you know, audio recordings, and it's people screaming bloody murder and all kinds of, you know, violence and death and that sort of thing. And I tried to put it like at the end of the podcast, hey, for those of you who want to stick around and hear this, go ahead. But even that, people were like, you know, I don't really want to hear that. And so, yeah, for here and there, when appropriate, I'll throw in a bonus episode and give a big old disclaimer at the beginning.
So you're going to keep it on the same Inside the Magic feed?
I think so. I mean, I honestly really don't know. I don't know where it's all going. It's something new. It has started out, you know, pretty well. There's I don't know, maybe 1,000 people or so paying attention to it right now. And if that continues to grow, then maybe it'll do the same thing that, you know, the ITM side of things did. We'll see.
Well, I think there's a huge audience for it. And I think that it appeals to people that, you know, may not even be into Disney stuff.
Right. Yeah, well, that is definitely a goal. I definitely want to sort of try to reach out to people who hate Disney, who, you know, like it's a small world. No, I never want to hear that, you know, that kind of thing. Right. But they can still love all these other things. So, yeah, there's definitely an aspect to that.
With this show, I mean, people obviously like Disney on some point, on some level, unless they wouldn't be interested in what we're doing. But
right,
we are reaching a different sector. There's people that haven't even listened to podcasts before that started listening to this just because they connected with the concept, you know. So I definitely see a huge potential for Outside the Magic, especially since you cover all these different things that thousands of people are doing or experiencing. There's already an audience for the things that you're covering.
Right. Exactly. That's kind of the point. And for those who can't be, I'm applying the same formula. It's always been for Inside the Magic. It's been, if you can't be in the parks, let me bring you the next best thing. Let me bring you video and audio and pictures and reports so you can feel like you're there. You know, if you're a state away, or if you're around the world, you know, if you couldn't be there, then this is going to be the next best thing. So that's kind of what I want to do, is for all these other things, whether it's, you know, a haunted attraction or, you know, some themed cosplay burlesque show or, you know, whatever silliness I can find. There it is.
Excellent. So you recently were at MegaCon, which is a huge convention in Orlando.
Yes, I am literally editing photos from MegaCon as I'm talking to you right now.
You're a multitasker, great.
I always do. I can never just do one thing at a time. Right. So
it's just you that does all this stuff. You don't have anyone that works with you?
No, I've definitely brought on. I am the primary sort of keeper of all things Inside the Magic. Nothing happens there without going through me, but I definitely have a lot of assistants here and there that I use for, you know, photography, for video, for writing, different parts of the country, et cetera. So like this weekend, my buddy Michael was helping me out at MegaCon. We did a divide and conquer and just kind of split off and tried to cover everything that was there at the show.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, well, that's at least you have some help.
Yeah, it's become necessary. I've you know, extended it to the point where, and for Outside the Magic as well, I've got quite a few people already interested in beginning to write for that specifically. Knowing, you know, the people who know full well that I've sort of got the Inside the Magic thing covered, but now this is something new that can be contributed. So, you know, and actually, this is a good time. Any of you out there across the country, around the world, if you want to help, please, you know, send me an email, go to the site, write me a note. This is definitely the time where I'm looking for people to, you know, either write sort of little tiny things on a daily basis, or if there's a local cool event in your area, you know, tell me about it. Or if you want to go, I can, you know, probably get you in and take some pictures or whatever.
Oh, excellent.
That's the goal. I want to make it sort of a more of a community thing. You know, Inside the Magic has always been sort of me and a few other people sort of bringing our perspective. I want to really make Outside the Magic really everybody's perspective, really have a more open forum with, you know, since it's not necessarily family friendly, I can really open it up and say, hey, everybody, you can say whatever you want as long as you're not, you know, picking on each other.
Right. So that sounds really exciting, because that's when things thrive, when a community is involved. It becomes its own organism, you know.
yeah, I hope so. I don't really have sort of as direct a game plan for it. It's just kind of a lofty idea that it's going to organically grow in whatever direction it wants to.
Oh, that's probably the best. So you're not really disappointed by anything. You just wait to see what happens.
If it grows itself right into the ground, then that's where it ends up.
Yep, you always have Inside the Magic, though, so don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. I'll aim low, and if I can go higher, then wonderful.
So why don't you talk a little bit about your other website that you have just launched?
Back when I started Inside the Magic, it was such a I don't think this is going anywhere sort of thing that all I did was sort of slap it as a little tiny website just to host the podcast on a site that I already had, which was distantcreations.com, which was my portfolio site. You know, examples of various works that I had done in the world of video editing and audio creation and Photoshop and all of that sort of thing. Things that I've been working with for years and years and years, long before Inside the Magic. And that's what that was. Mm-hmm. But then I just kind of added a slash Inside the Magic. I was like, yeah, that seems like a good spot. Over time, I eventually realized that I needed that separate website because ITM was going to grow and grow and grow. So I got what I did. And then Distant Creations has gone through like 47 different things since then. It became like a personal blog and a something else. And I never paid any attention to it. So, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to revert this back to what it used to be, but a spruced up version, really with a focus on now that I am doing Outside the Magic as well, I'm having an opportunity to really expand my photography, for example, and really do a lot of other cool things that aren't just taking pictures of Disney princesses. So I wanted to, you know, have sort of a home to share all of that. So again, it's just distantcreations.com. And that's my new portfolio site. I created a new Facebook page for it as well. And just sort of a more personal opportunity for me to share my favorite things that I have done.
Oh, excellent. Sounds cool. It's really exciting that you're diving into some new projects here.
Yeah, because, you know, the way to answer being too busy is to do more.
Of course. Well, you know, there's people that, you know, they have ideas and sometimes they don't execute, and a few people do, and that's how we get things.
Honestly, it's just a way for me to stay a little bit more sane and enjoy. You know, I can enjoy Inside the Magic more by doing these other things, because that way I'm more, you know, sort of well-rounded that
right,
way.
Right.
So tunnel vision on one topic.
I've noticed you've brought up many times or hinted at it, but you definitely like the dark things in Disney, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that the Haunted Mansion has always been my favorite attraction, as is many people's.
Right. So what would you say is your favorite Disney villain? I know that's kind of a generic question, but or even hard. I don't know.
No, I want the villains to do more. I loved it when they did the little Friday the 13th thing for Limited Time Magic last year. And even though the event itself was kind of a mess, it was showing that they were sort of acknowledging that people like villains. So that was nice. In recent years, I think Dr. Facilier is definitely my favorite, just because it's an area of villainy that Disney has never really gotten into before. It was kind of the almost the real side of villains. It was, you know, not to the point where it's like serial killer real, but it's you know, there are people who believe in voodoo, certainly,
right?
There was an element of, you know, it's this guy who seems to be like a charlatan out on the streets of New Orleans trying to scam people with tarot cards, and as it turns out, he actually was kind of legitimate and had a connection to, you know, this other world. But on the surface, he's just, you know, this colorful bomb in the streets of New Orleans. But then as it turned out, he was, you know, not only a bad guy, but also he was victim to these even greater bad powers, these mysterious, you know, shadow creatures, all, you know, very, very dark. The scene of his Friends of the Other Side song with all the black light imagery and the shadows and yeah, all that. It just, awesome. It was gorgeous. You know, I absolutely love it. So currently, presently, Dr. Facilier is my favorite villain.
And in case anyone... Because not a lot of people saw this movie, apparently. I mean, you're talking about Princess and the Frog.
Just, yes, of course. Just, you know. Everybody needs to see it. I mean, that's my favorite Disney movie in many years. The music is phenomenal. It's like legit music. It's real jazz music. It's stuff you can listen to, and people won't be like, why are you listening to Disney music?
Yeah, they wouldn't even know.
It's real music from real musicians, and not that, okay, that was said really wrong. The people who write Disney music are absolutely real musicians. Don't get me wrong there. I meant other genres. It's people legitimately from the jazz world.
Right. I think what you meant is people that have an artistic vision of what they're doing. They're not just adapting to playing whatever is called for them, so they're really in it.
yeah. No, it just works. It's great music, and just the whole movie. I really, really quite enjoyed it more than Tangled, more than Frozen. You know, I know Frozen is this like exploding phenomenon right now, but for me, you know, the 2D animation, the Princess and the Frog is fantastic.
Oh yeah, it's a great one. As far as Frozen goes, I mean, I enjoyed it. I won't say that I didn't, but. Like there's nothing really creepy about it. There's no real villain. They're just a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, it's different. And, you know, it's a different direction. It has its audience, certainly a very, very big one. But I'm with you. It's not, you know, it's not my favorite in years or anything. I thought it was good. I thought it was solid, but it wasn't like mind blowing good.
Right. Well, you know,
guess if I have to hear a cover of Let It Go one more time.
Yes, that's how you're really inside the magic, because I steer clear of those things that aren't in my. But you got to come across those things as you're digging through the stuff you're working on.
And, you know, people are sending me links constantly like, hey, have you seen this? And I don't know what this is. So I click on it and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the 78th cover of Let It Go I've seen today. Thank you.
Well, back to the villains thing a little bit. I don't know if you ever heard anything about this, and I've never gotten any concrete information. It just seems to be rumors. But many years ago, there was all these rumors of a villains theme park. Have you ever heard of this?
I have. I've heard of variations of it. I've heard of sort of the adult-oriented park. I've heard of the park for after dark. You know, there's definitely a lot of ideas like that have been tossed around within the halls of Disney. Just none of them ever got the green light.
I wonder how did they get out of the halls?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, something as simple as Walt Disney World finally added meet and greets with Jack Skellington and Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, whereas Disneyland has had it for years. And of course, the lines were huge to meet them out here constantly. And yet it's a very slow process. Disney has the same problem that I do, multiplied by 8 bazillion, is that they have to be very careful with their super family friendly audience, if you know, especially here in Florida, and the, you know, they any tiny little potentially scary or you know, not princessy thing that they put out, they get inundated with crazy soccer moms who think their kid is going to be traumatized for the rest of their lives because they saw, you know, the scary witch from Snow White. And so for a villains centric thing to exist, I just don't see it anytime in the near future. I mean, Alien Encounter. I loved Alien Encounter. I can't believe that made it into the Magic Kingdom, and I'm not surprised it's gone. But you know, I'm glad it was there.
Yeah, that's just. I've been really fascinated with this. I've just been trying to piece by piece get some background on this rumor. You know, I mean. Because I just, it would be amazing, but I don't think it could ever happen.
I don't think so. Not in Florida, at least.
Yeah.
I I'm hoping maybe someone someday eventually will pull the trigger on maybe like a villains, a bigger villains event at Hollywood Studios. I think that'd be the best place for it. Mm-hmm. But it would really, it would be overseas. If anything major sort of villain centric happened, it would definitely be overseas because they're much more receptive to that. I mean, look at their Halloween celebration in Hong Kong and Tokyo. It is, it, there's scary stuff going on in their Magic Kingdom, you know, type of park. And they just kind of laugh it off. They're like, yeah, that's fun. It's Halloween, you know? But right. Whereas here, it's like, oh my God, my kid's crying. They're going to die.
Well, and going back to even what's in Florida, I mean, there's some scary things in Walt Disney World right now. You know, like,
on purpose or?
I mean, I don't know, on purpose. I mean, just... I mean, really, let's think of a little kid's perspective of going on Pirates for the first time. I mean,
right, yeah.
You know, I mean, that could be just
the storm
scary.
Scene with the wind howling and the skeleton with the hell. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that could be just as scary as a villain's ride. Really, I mean, you know, it's all the individuals, what they can handle or what they perceive it to be.
Yeah, and there's talk out there that the Little Mermaid Dark Ride is going to receive an upgraded sort of finale with a scarier, bigger Ursula, you know, meeting her demise as opposed to the little tiny sort of cardboard cutout that's stuck off in a corner somewhere. So, there's I know there are Imagineers who want to do these things, but... You know, it's the bean counters that make these calls, and when they see the Disney Princess merchandise, you know, the Frozen merchandise flying off the shelves, and that's where they're looking.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, there's always, that's the whole, you know, I think that's the struggle right now with the Disney community is the divide between what is artistically right and what is financially, you know, viable.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people there at Disney are making decisions based on what they think without actually trying things, you know, give something a shot. They did with the Friday the 13th thing that I mentioned earlier, and it brought thousands upon thousands upon thousands more people than they were expecting, turned into a complete nightmare of parking and traffic and all of that because they weren't prepared. They were like, oh, villains, nobody cares about that. We might get a couple thousand people, and the park filled the capacity. And so I'm sure they got the message then. Right. Unfortunately, the result of that is probably not going to happen for like 2 or 3 years while 47 different people sign off on it.
Well, that's just the way it goes.
that is what happens when you're Disney, you know? It's a huge company, and too many people have to make too many decisions for anything to happen.
Well, before before you get out of here, let's take a look over to another theme park that you frequent. Of course, Universal Orlando.
Yeah, I'll be there this coming Monday for their opening of the Cabana Bay Hotel.
That looks pretty cool. Have you actually seen anything in person yet there?
I have. I did a little tour a few weeks ago where it was surprisingly done. Like, not done, but more than I thought it would be. And it looks good. I'm pretty excited to, I'm gonna spend a night there and really check it all out. And I love that somebody at Universal committed to this theme of this retro, vintage, kitschy resort. They didn't stop. Like, there's nothing there where they pulled back and thought, well,
really?
We can't do this because people won't get it, or because we need this, that, or the, and of course there's modern amenities, you know, flat screen TV and all that sort of thing, but
right.
Other than that, I mean, it's real. It feels right through and through. There's not any of those moments where they're, you know, sort of like, well, we got to cater to today's audience and change this because of that. No, they really went through with it wholeheartedly, and that's what's most impressing me with Universal lately, is when they're going for these ideas. They're like, you know what, if we're going to do this, we're going to dump the money in and we're going to do it right.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, because I saw the concept art for it and I was like, oh, that seems cool, but I wouldn't think that they would go all the way. I think you get in your room and it would just be like you're at any other hotel. I just thought that maybe the outside was themed.
Yeah, no, the hotel rooms, I already walked through one, and it's they had, you know, furniture either you know, purchased with a very specific style, or some of it was a lot of it actually was made for the hotel. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice, comfortable place to be. I'm really looking forward to staying there.
That's cool. But I always wondered, and I feel like this is something that's been tossed around a lot with all the Harry Potter stuff that's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can we get a Harry Potter themed hotel? You know, like, I don't know. Why do you think they won't pull the trigger on that one?
I'm not sure what a Harry Potter hotel would be in the world of Harry Potter. I mean, I obviously could imagine what a Harry Potter hotel would be like, but as far as being like true to the story,
right?
You know, I don't think there was a hotel. I mean, it would have to be like a London hotel, and you know, who wants to stay in a London hotel unless you're in London?
It's kind of boring. Actually, the only
You could stay in a Hogwarts dorm or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to pull that off since you're so far away from from the Forbidden Journey.
Right. I mean, it would have to be attached to the park, like right there. You know.
I was like, the only hotel type place I would think that seen any of the films is upstairs in the Leaky Cauldron, and again, that had to be attached there. So I guess
that's true. I mean, that would be pretty awesome if it was like a Cinderella castle suite sort of thing where you can actually stay right there. Of course, you know, it'd only be like five rooms or something.
Yeah,
but
it'd be a 15-year waiting list.
Right, exactly. That'd be pretty awesome. You know, of course, people have been waiting to like stay in the Tower of Terror, you know, Hollywood Tower Hotel.
Right, yeah.
And that's never happened.
Yeah, well, I don't know how they could, even if they wanted to do that one, I don't even know. They would have to add on so much to it to have.
Well, you know, you could sleep in the elevator or something. Can't imagine it'd be very comfortable. And, you know, if they wanted to kick you out, all they have to do is drop you and there you go, out the door.
Toss you around while you're sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be insane. Yeah. Buckle up before you go to bed. You never know what's going to happen.
This place is haunted, you know.
I mean, they did do the overnight in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland a few years ago some contest winners. That was pretty cool.
So what did that entail? I never heard of that.
People slept in the stretching room.
Really?
They had set up some beds and a computer so that the people could, you know, blog or whatever they were doing at the time about their experience. And they had a webcam that you could tune in and watch what was going on. And throughout the evening, they were periodically woken up by, you know, the hitchhiking ghost or the caretaker or the butlers or the, you know, the Dapper Dan singing or whoever, you know, whatever it was, different entertainment. I don't think they got a whole lot of sleep, but that's pretty cool. I mean, they spent the night in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, no, that is pretty cool. I never heard of that. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of video from that, and I had talked to the family right after they did it, and they were pretty tired, but they were pretty excited about it. So,
yeah, I guess it's always been a dream to go in and actually stay in these places. But I guess when reality comes, you just want to be left alone when you go to sleep. You just want to go on your own bed.
Well, that's the thing. It's the, you have this vision of, okay, yeah, if there was like a hotel in Harry Potter area, like you said, your vision of that is, well, I would get to sleep there and I'd be in there and I'd be able to walk around and explore and do things. And no, you'd be like locked in a little room and you couldn't do anything because the park would be closed. And, you know, the reality of it begins to set in.
Right, right. So do you find that, do you have a lot of people that are going to Universal for the first time and kind of feel like it's a little too scary? do you hear feedback like that?
No, I still occasionally get the people who are absolutely 100% convinced that everybody at Universal is rude and Disney cast members are the ultimate amazing nice people in the universe. And of course that's not true. There's so many nice people at Universal. You're going to run into some people who don't really like their job, and that happens at Disney too. But other than that, no, it's, you know, it's a different breed of thing. You have to know what you're getting into. You have to realize that, you know, the types of rides that are there, and as long as you know, do a little bit of homework, and then I think, you know, just about anyone can have a good time over there, except really, you know, really little kids. I don't think Universal's the right place for, you know, there's not a lot for really little kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess they figured Disney has that on lock.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Universal doesn't want to try to beat Disney at their own game. They have their own thing. You know, they're attacking their target audience, and they're honestly stealing it from Disney. I mean, you know, teenagers, do they want to go ride, you know, walk through Harry Potter's area and do all of that, or do they want to go ride the teacups? you know? or even the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for, you know, are you going to want to go ride Gringotts, the amazing new multi-sensory, you know, top state-of-the-art incredible attraction based on the one of the most successful film franchises of all time? Or do you want to go ride the little kiddie coaster based on a movie that's 80 plus years old?
Right. I mean, for people like us, we're like, you know, we're kind of into all this stuff, so it's cool. But to really try to get in the mind of a teenager in 2014, they're not going to think Snow White's that cool, probably.
No, you know? No. I mean, some of them will, of course. You know, the ones who are into, you know, Disney bounding and really hardcore, you know, on all of that. There, of course, there's Disney fans of all ages. But your average everyday teenagers, yeah, going to want to go see Harry Potter.
Well, I'm excited about Diagon Alley.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine if, you know, the line that was snaking through City Walk to get into the Wizarding World the first time around, I have a feeling we're going to be there all over again. And it's going to be another insane opening that's going to capture the world's attention. And it's going to set some new bars for what a theme park entertainment is. I've said it many times, and I'm not that big of a Harry Potter fan. I saw the movies once each, and I was like, yeah, they're all right. But the experience, the world, the theme park experience is phenomenal. There's, you know, it doesn't matter if you like the subject matter or not. You can still have a good time being there.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan. Like, I say that to people, and then they start talking about things I don't, you know, like crazy stuff, and like they get really deep into it. And I would just say, I just really like watching the movies. I'm like,
right.
I'm not reading fan fiction online or anything like that. Right. I don't know the names of spells. You know, I'm not going, not going that deep. But, I definitely, you know, I just went to I went there for the first time this May. And it was, it was with 3 years of hype leading up, it lived up to it and beyond just what's already there. So I can't even imagine what's going in Diagon Alley.
Right. The most important thing that has come out of all of this, and what's really going to start to benefit for the future of anybody who's a theme park fan, is that Universal, as a result of the original Wizarding World being so popular, is they are now and trickling all the way up to their, you know, head executives, you know, three corporations upward, whichever company owns them now, you know, GE, Comcast, whatever it is. I guess it's Comcast. They're saying, hey, we're all in. You need money to build this next whatever it is. Here, take it. It's yours. You know, whereas Disney's like, well, this is going to cost $4 more than that. And this, you know, it's been the same game for years and years, and they're still playing their own game. Whereas Universal's like, hey, we're successfully playing catch up, and there's no reason to stop that. So they're just, it's the designer's dream
right
over there right now, which means it's also the fan's dream. It means nothing, no corners are being cut. There's no, you know, you're not going to round a corner, like literally you're not going to walk around a corner and be like, oh, there's where, you know, this was going to be, but it wasn't because the budget was cut. It's like, no, everything that they wanted is there. And that's amazing.
Yeah, this is a great time to be a theme park fan for sure.
Yeah.
The most exciting thing I'm about, I actually did a whole episode on dissecting it, which has been such little detail about, is the Nocturne Alley section.
I can't wait to see. Well, one, I can't wait to see how you're going to be able to walk through there because it's really small. I'm excited to see where the dark side of Harry Potter goes.
Because it's really I can't really think of any other thing where it's like, this is a villain section of a,
right.
You know, like, this isn't like, you know, a hero's journey and then they encounter something bad. Like, you're walking into
it's darkness. Literally the dark back alley of the Wizarding World. It's you know, taking a random left turn in Times Square and being like, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Right. I don't know which one is more dangerous.
Well, that's the one nice thing about all of these, is as scary as they want to make something as you know, intense, you know, deep down you're perfectly safe.
Right.
And so you can let yourself go and be like, yo, I'm I'm into this. This is, you know, you can forget all your worries, and, you know, short of maybe being stuck on a roller coaster for a few hours, that's about the worst of it.
Right. And let's not think about that.
So. No. That's why I don't ride Rip Ride Rocket.
That's a scary one. That lift hill, even if you don't get stuck, that is unsettling. You're being at that flat angle going up so high. You're just like,
yeah.
Not a fun one. Even if I do get to listen to Limp Bizkit as I go through the ride.
And how many other rides can you say, even if I do get to listen to Limp Bizkit?
Not a one. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun.
Taking time out of, or not out of, but, well, you know, part of editing or pictures. Or
hey, I got through like 30 pictures while we were talking here.
Excellent. And, you know, we had just one more time, your way to get in touch with you. What do people
want to do? Sure. Plug away. InsideTheMagic.net, of course, is the home for all things Inside the Magic. Even beyond the website, which is where all the articles and the podcast are located. Certainly on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube, just add / Inside the Magic to any of those services, and you'll find there. You can follow and like and subscribe to all of that. And then, more specifically for, you know, the audience listening to your show here, I think Outside the Magic is going to be a great place moving forward. It's, you know, we're sort of easing into it right now, picking up some steam. And actually, in the next couple of days, I'm going to post some really fun things that I did over the weekend that were kind of after hours MegaCon things. So things that absolutely couldn't have been on Inside the Magic. So and I guarantee I'm going to offend somebody with it. So definitely check back soon for that. And so you can do that by adding, you know, do InsideTheMagic.net/outside or just simply OutsideTheMagic.com and find us there and follow along with the insanity.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty, it's almost time to get out of here. Before I do, I want to share with you a tweet that was sent my way from dear friend of the show and past guest, Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls. It was in regards to the multiple requests I have received to do a show on the film Watcher in the Woods. I discussed this in last episode, if you heard it. If not, that's what I'm talking about. And what I discussed was that I am going through each Disney film in chronological order to discuss all the creepiest parts. And this film was released in the 80s, so, and I've only done four, so it might take a while. I was saying maybe I'll do it sooner since there was a demand for it. Michelle brought up a great idea, was that the film was released on October 17th, 1980. How about we do a 24-year anniversary show? I think that sounds perfect, especially because, as mentioned on the show that Michelle and her co-host Jane from Disney Dream Girls were on, I will be doing a episode of Creepy Kingdom for every single day in October. Still haven't quite thought of what to call this. Creepoween. I don't know. Still working on the title. But, and I need a good hashtag, of course, too. But that's Twitter talk for you non-Twitter people. Anyways, I think that's a great idea, and I think that is what is going to happen. Alrighty, thanks again to Ricky from Inside the Magic and the new Outside the Magic. Check out that site, OutsideTheMagic.com. If you're listening to this on the day it was released, you could see something that I sent his way. If not, then you're going to see something else awesome, because it's an awesome site. So, it's OutsideTheMagic.com. Coming up on our next show, I have Miss Roxy Tart from Pinup Lifestyle and Rock Around the Park, which was a rockabilly day at Disneyland. So get ready for that. If you have any questions for me, any comments, anything, you can shoot me an email at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to all the links we talked about, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you gotta do is go to creepykingdom.com. Please leave the show a review in the iTunes store. That would be incredible if you did, especially if it's a 5-star one. And we are available on the Stitcher app that streams podcasts directly to your smartphone or tablet. No downloading required. Just search Creepy Kingdom. Well, until next time, keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.